I'm getting very old.
Now back Marty to NPR's Giants pregame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lori on The Sports Leader.
You know, I'll tell you, this is my favorite lead-in, Raph. You know that, because it means we're going to talk to Kerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group. Kerry, how are you today?
Excellent today, Marty. How are you doing?
Very good. Glad to talk with you, as always. Well, it's so interesting, because I wait for the text every day to see who the player is who the Giants will have picked up for today. Because they have some, it's like the Joe DiMaggio streak. They're probably 56 in a row here. But today there's a new left-handed pitcher off waivers, and I'll let you announce it.
Yeah, it's Wandy Peralta, former Cincinnati Reds pitcher. Took me by surprise, Marty. I thought that the 40-man roster churn would probably come to an end in the month of September. But no, the Giants have claimed three players this week. First, Corbin Joseph, who joined the Major League roster to play the infield. And then they added Ricardo Pinto yesterday to go help the AAA Rivercats squad in the playoffs. And now it's Wandy Peralta, a left-handed reliever who will meet the team in San Francisco on Monday. And if fans are having trouble keeping track, don't worry. So are all the beat writers.
Yeah, really? God. Well, and I look at the numbers, I must tell you, of Pinto and Peralta, and I say, why? Because these are not overwhelming numbers, you know. I always used to look, maybe, you know, if the A's used to do this, you'd always say, why did they pick that guy up? Then you'd look at the on-base percentage, would be 390, you know, or the walk-to-strikeout ratio is 8-1, something like that. But on either of these guys, Peralta or Pinto, I don't see anything redeeming.
Well, with Peralta, to me, I look at the numbers and I see a terrible 2018 season. 2019, he didn't make a difference at all. But back in 2017, he was pretty good. And that reminds me a little bit of Trevor Gott and what he did back with the Angels. He had one good season, and then he had two really bad seasons. Farhan adds him on a waiver claim, and he turns out to be one of the Giants' most important relievers this season. And relief pitchers go back and forth. They're erratic. Command is never there. And so some years you're awful. Some years you're great. You've seen closers get a ton of money in free agency and then not live up to the bill. And so I think what Farhan is trying to do is create a competition of 25 to 30 guys next spring to vie for seven bullpen spots. And they'll just take the best and then send the rest to AAA and kind of patch things together come spring training.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think we've seen that with Farhan, the way he does stuff. So you're right. It's just you get as many as you can. Look at Abad. They brought him, you know, Abad's kicked around, and now he's in the middle of things as well. So, all right, I'll accept that, and we'll move forward from the daily transaction of the San Francisco Giants. I thought Bochy had a great game last night, and I'll take him managing over Dave Roberts any day of the week, and you know why. I mean, he's just so experienced. Roberts got himself in a pickle, and Yastrzemski came up and Kerry, I watch this kid and I keep saying to myself, is this for real? Is this for real? 19 homers. The RBIs are up there and basically a little more than half a season. How about that inning last night?
My goodness. I couldn't believe that Dave Roberts elected to walk Buster Posey after he'd struck out and hit into a double play. And I know that he wasn't facing Clayton Kershaw. There was a relief pitcher coming in, but I just didn't get that situation. And then to walk Brandon Belt as well to get to Mauricio Dubon, who'd already had a double and a home run, to me it just didn't make any sense what the Dodgers did. And Bochy was ready. He had all the counter moves ready to go. He was even ready for the seventh and eighth inning matchups against the Dodgers players. He had Tyler Rogers come in to try to throw A.J. Pollock off. He was the only guy to get him out last night. Yandel Gustav comes in, and he gets Justin Turner for the final out of the eighth inning. I thought that last night was really one of Bruce Bochy's finest games of the season.
Yeah, I did, and he needed a win. So now he's 6-15. They could do that, right?
Well, if you don't do it against the Marlins and Pirates, it's going to be a real big disappointment. Don't forget the Rockies come to town as well. So if you're not winning six of these final 21 games, that speaks to much, much bigger issues that go beyond Bruce Bochy.
Yeah, I think we're going to have one of our leading odds makers on the show today, and he's actually made the odds on Bochy getting to 2,000. And I will let everyone know he's a favorite to get there. So let everybody know that. Someone who gets overlooked, and, you know, he's the professor. He's on with us every Sunday, Ron Wotus. I thought Woe had a great game last night because he waved everybody in. And they weren't dead bangers. They were sliding across as a throw was coming to the plate. But I thought Woe had a great game last night, too.
You know, in September, a third base coach should be aggressive. They should be challenging the arms of outfielders, and they should do everything they can to put their team in position to score runs, especially when you're in the Giants situation where they're out of the wild card race. They've been out of the division race for really the past 4 months, and I thought Ron Wotus excelled last night. You're right about that. To challenge the arms of the Dodgers on Mike Yastrzemski's double and then on Mauricio Dubon's single into left field, that was important, and it turns out to be really important when it's a one-run game, and so you can overlook coaching decisions like that when rookies have such fine nights like Dubon and Yastrzemski have, but it's really important to highlight that because the Giants don't win without those aggressive sends.
Yeah, I thought they were good, very good last night for Woe. And, you know, the third base coach, when you notice him, something bad happens.
Yes, exactly.
No, those were the, and you saw it. I, of course, was watching on TV, but you were at the ballpark and you could figure it out. But those throws, you know, they weren't dead bangers to get in. But they made it, and I just want to point Woe out as well. Kerry Crowley with us. Kerry, the star, really, and maybe the brightest spot other than Yastrzemski, really, maybe the comeback of Samardzija, which we can chat about that for a second, but is Mauricio Dubon. Come on, Kershaw, and the kid plays. Someone compared him today to me like the kid in the Sandlot, you know, like... You know, that this kid has just got it. He's got something about him. And I know I think his on base is the same as his batting average. So he probably hasn't walked yet. But there's something about this kid that this kid, if he was a power hitter, that's the kind of power hitter you want to see. For who he is, this kid looks like he can play.
Oh, absolutely. And if you think about how the Dodgers rose to prominence in the National League West, it's all the player development machine. They keep having guys come up 22, 23, 24, 25, and delivering right away. And Dubon is on the older side of that. He's 25 already. But he is the first Giants player to come up, have immediate success, and get the fan base really, really excited, probably in the latter half of the decade. And just what he's done and what looks like it's sustainable for him, because he's such a fluid fielder. He can play shortstop and second base, so you can keep him in the lineup. He's not afraid to challenge teams, and he goes up looking to do damage. And I think that the Giants have missed that. And granted, they had to go outside their own farm system to get a player like this, but I think it's a great evaluation from Farhan and then Zach Manassian as well, the Giants director of pro scouting who was in the Brewers organization and played a key role in getting Mauricio Dubon to the Giants.
There's something inside the kid. There's something about it's not the analytics. It's the eye test with him, too. There's just something the way he plays. And who knows? You know, the legal, you know, have to go around twice and people pitch him differently. Look at Yastrzemski. You throw a high fastball and maybe he can't catch up to it. But how many at-bats does he have where he doesn't even see a high fastball and he just gets a pitch that's in his zone and he doesn't miss it?
What a season he has had, Marty. Every single day, his story gets better. And I don't think anyone thought back in May, June, July, when Yastrzemski was starting to heat up, that it would be the case all season long, that he would be this kind of most valuable player for the Giants this year. I think that Yastrzemski has made a case that he could win the Willie Mack Award. You know, he spent seven seasons in the minor leagues just vying for a shot, couldn't get one in the Orioles organization. The Giants finally give one to him, and he has really taken off. And what an incredible story. They're going to go to Boston next week, and that's going to be an amazing moment for the Yastrzemski family and really a great way to cap off a season that no one saw coming.
Boy, Willie Mack Award. I hadn't thought about that. I thought Stephen Vogt had that thing sewn up, but maybe not.
Well, Kevin Pillar is also in there.
You can't
discount Kevin Pillar because he plays every day. Remember, he was 2-for-2 last night before drawing that 12-pitch walk got Clayton Kershaw out of the game. I thought that was the most overlooked plate appearance for any Giants player last night.
Yeah, that was key. And Pillar hits the ball hard. And, again, we had Mark Simon on with the hard hit ball rate and all that stuff. Well, we know how Pillar swings. Pillar swings, you know, as hard as he can, and not a great on-base percentage. But this, and you and I have talked about this, he is a must. He must be brought back. Must. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I think so. When you look at the Giants outfield situation, Elliot Ramos beginning to establish himself as a top prospect will probably come up toward the end of next season, maybe take over as a center fielder of the future. You've got Pilar, one more year of arbitration eligible ball. And I think it just makes so much sense to bring him back. It'll be $8 to $10 million, but you know what? For a Giants organization that has deep pockets, you make that sacrifice, whatever it is financially, to bring him back.
Yeah, no question. All right, let's talk a little Beedy. We had Mark on, and Mark was talking about the curveball. He says that's the key to Beedy. They get a curveball that someone will chase because his stuff is not that overpowering. He's not 98, 99. You know, he's got to get a pitch to fool people once in a while. What do you see? I know 0-8 for the team. He's 0-3, bigger in run average, first inning runs and all that, but they're running him out there again. I know Cueto's got the back issue. So Beedy is on the hill tonight.
You know, he tried to bring back the slider earlier this season. I don't know that it was ultimately the best move for him. Fastball, changeup, I think, are his two best offerings. But Mark Simon's right. The curveball could be a real difference maker for Tyler Beedy if he continues to stick with it, if he polishes it. And, you know, you keep running him out there because he's had success. Or, you know, he's gone out and he's thrown eight innings against the Mets with shutout ball. He picked up a big victory at Dodger Stadium earlier this year against the best lineup in the National League. And so I think that, you know, in a season where you're not going to make the playoffs, in a season that's all about development right now in the month of September, you want to see what Tyler Beedy can do. Because as we talked about last week, the White Sox almost gave up on Lucas Giolito last season. He's been one of their best starters this year, really one of the best pitchers in the American League. And that's what happens when you have three pitches that you can locate and fool batters with. And Beedy has that potential, that high ceiling. It's just about harnessing it.
How would you like to be at Harvard Westlake and be playing them in high school and they throw Giolito, Max Fried, and Flaherty at you?
Oh, my goodness. What a high school rotation that
even
was.
Even S.I.
Flaherty the other night.
Right?
I don't think so.
Come
I don't
on,
think
even,
so. Big
even
day for the
great,
Cats, though, Marty.
Who are they? The Lions? What are they? Cats?
S.I. Wildcats. Big
Wildcats,
day. Big
okay.
day. Yeah.
What are they doing today?
Well, the freshman football team already won. The JV's got a 3-point win, and now it's up to the varsity to take down Sacred Heart Prep. Believe me, we're already scoreboard watching week two, Marty.
Very good. See anything about Jalen Davis this week that you could comment on?
Real big athleticism from Jalen Davis, and you can see the potential. I think that he'll continue to develop as an outfielder. I wonder if he'll be able to lift the ball in the air against Major League pitching like he was able to do so well at AA at the beginning of the season and at AAA in the PCL for the Sacramento River Cats, because so far we've seen a lot of hard ground balls and a swing that's similar to Mack Williamson, and we've seen that type of swing maybe isn't so successful at the Major League level. So I think that it's a real evaluation period for Jalen Davis. Would not surprise me at all if he started next year at AAA and the Giants got a longer evaluation on what he could do, because I think there are a few tweaks that need to be made, but he does have such great athletic potential. You can see him out there, runs up the first base line faster than almost any Giants player, and so they like that quality.
Bruce Bochy had a nice pregame last night. I thought the Dodgers did it well, and let's face it, it's Bochy against the Dodgers. You know, it's like, you know, the big rivalry, and the manager is retiring, but I thought they handled it well, and did the crowd respond?
They did. The crowd gave him a nice ovation. You know, it wasn't the type of standing O that he got at Petco Park in San Diego, but of course he was beloved in San Diego. I think most people in San Diego probably wish that he would manage the Padres next year. And so to me, that was a top two celebration of Bruce Bochy's career. The Padres and the Dodgers did it the best, and no one else really came close. The Rockies did a very nice job in Colorado. There were a few others that were nice. Of course, the Washington Nationals didn't do anything, and the Dodgers and the Padres were really, really classy. So to me, those two stand out.
I think the Dodgers have any starting pitching issues for the playoffs, and I know Ryu, they're skipping him. He's had two or three in a row. He's walking people, giving up home runs. Kershaw, if he's had two in a row now, sort of like last night. Rich Hill's coming back next week. Urias goes tomorrow. Bueller's been outstanding. Stripling has been okay. Dodgers have some pitching issues, in your opinion?
I think they do toward the back end. I still trust their starters. You know, I still trust a Walker Bueller. I still think that Clayton Kershaw can have success. Maybe not deep into October, but he can still give you five, six solid innings in a playoff game. And, you know, I like what the Dodgers have. I think they're in good position. Maybe they don't stack up pitching-wise in the starting rotation with a team like the Washington Nationals, but I think that their lineup can overcome so much, and that's what makes the Dodgers so dangerous in the National League. You know, I'd love to see the Dodgers against the Braves with the starting pitching that the Braves sort of cultivated. Mike Soroka could still sneak in there and win Rookie of the Year. He's been outstanding for Atlanta. I think that would be an awesome series in the National League Championship Series, Dodgers-Braves.
Yeah, you got Max Fried, you got Keuchel, you got Teran, who's been outstanding. He goes today. And then you have Soroka. So maybe, and then the closer, they can't touch Melanson.
No, they can't touch Mark Melanson.
Wouldn't that be something?
Hammer curveball.
How about that? The Game 5, Melanson to knock the Dodgers out. That's baseball, right?
Oh, man, I would love to see the Giants fans' reaction all across social media if it was Mark Melanson against the Dodgers in the postseason and Melanson found a way to beat L.A. That would be fun and interesting.
I think Alex Pavlovich's head would explode if that happened. Somebody with all the things that people would say. Henry, too. That would be wild. Pleasure having you on. We'll see. The kid tonight, Gonsolin from St. Mary's, this kid looks like he can pitch.
Yes, you know what? The Dodgers player development machine continues to roll out these guys who maybe were overlooked by other farm systems, maybe weren't first-round draft picks, but they get in the Dodgers farm system, they develop, and they come up, and they produce. And Gonsolin, I don't think he's going to be any different. I think he's going to be a keeper for Los Angeles.
Yeah, he's fighting to get on that roster. Kerry, have a great afternoon, and we'll chat with you tomorrow.
Fantastic. Thank you, Marty.
All right, anytime. Boy, great to have Kerry Crowley on.